So if you want a good job in the music industry, what's the first thing that you need? A really good music industry resume. So what is a music industry resume? How do you make one? What if you don't have any relevant experience? How come you never get an interview? Hi, my name is Blake Carpenter. I'm a music career advisor. Not only am I a music maker just like you, but I used to hire people at places like Guitar Center and Bose in a previous life when I used to work retail. And I'm going to give you all of my secrets in this video. By the end of this episode, not only will you be able to make a dope looking resume that works, but I'm gonna show you how to get a really good advantage over other people who apply to that same job. Stay tuned to the end to find out how.
Blake makes music.
Lesson start.
This is probably one of the most requested videos we get. How do you make a resume for something that you have limited experience in? You want to get your foot in the door, but even that door requires experience. It's an endless cycle, right? It's almost like those big companies don't understand what you're going through. And it's because it's true, they have no idea what you're going through. I'm going to explain to you why and how you can overcome that towards the end of the video. But until then, make sure you hit subscribe, hit the notification bell, and give us a thumbs up. Make sure you hang out with us in the comments. First, I have to give you some facts that's gonna help you throughout the rest of this video. Number one, the average time spent by recruiters looking at resumes is only 5 to 7 seconds. Number two, most HR people, especially in the music industry, have no experience in music themselves. They're the ones who look at your resume first. Number three, the person who would be your boss is usually the third person to actually look at your resume. So what really happens to your resume when you submit to a job? Well, first of all, it goes through a computer software that takes all of the text in your resume and it matches it to the job description and figures out if you're a good candidate. This happens before anybody actually looks at your application. Applicant tracking software, the robots that read your resume first, quickly eliminate 75% of the applicants right away. So if the job description says you must be efficient in Pro Tools, but your resume says expert in all DAWs, computer's not gonna know what that means. Then after you get an actual score next to your resume, the person who looks at your resume after that has no experience in the industry that they're hiring for. So you're expecting the HR person to even know what Pro Tools is? Let alone what DAW means? That recruiter or the HR person's playing the matching game too. All they know is that they have to hire the right candidate based on the job description that somebody gives them. They have no idea that when you say expert in all DAWs, for example, that Pro Tools is a DAW. And I'm sure there's some people watching this video that don't even know what the word DAW means, or Pro Tools. Oh, what are you guys doing to me? If that recruiter turns in underqualified candidates to that job, how long do you think that recruiter is gonna be employed at that company? Not very long, I'm sure. Here's another fact. 35% of people who apply for a job are actually qualified for it, especially in music. Everybody wants a job in music. My mom wants to do A&R. What? So that recruiter spends their 5 seconds reading your resume, and based off their first impressions, they decide if they want to talk to you or not. And there's an 88% rejection rate when people include a photo in their resume. What if you look like their ex? Well, then your resume just made it to that special filing cabinet, the trash can. So your resume looks great, you did everything right, but your email happens to be shakethatbooty@gmail.com. 76% of resumes are discarded because they have an unprofessional email address. Trust me, I've seen it, you guys have some terrible email addresses. Cool, your email address is professional. You don't have a photo, you put your Instagram handle. Maybe they asked you to, maybe they didn't. 93% of recruiters are gonna look at your social media. Bye bye, Vegas party girl and booze drinking boat guy. Whew, okay, so you made it this far. Everything was working against you, but you misspelled your own name? Have you learned nothing? Okay, so based on all of that data, let's make a resume that's perfect, based on science. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. All of the stuff from Blake Makes Music is absolutely 100% free, except for the Patreon. But what is Patreon? Patreon is a way for people to connect with their favorite creators in a cool, unique way. You can get some cool, unique perks and benefits to your favorite creators online. The Blake Makes Music podcast uses Patreon to connect with those who may need a little extra help with their music career. Join the music club on Patreon. You'll get some exciting benefits like a personal phone call from yours truly, start guides, cheat sheets, music industry contacts, music feedback, resume writing help, weekly Zoom sessions. You can even influence what kind of stuff is talked about on the show. Curious to what else I can help you with on your music career? Check out the Blake Makes Music Patreon by visiting musicadvice.io.
Well, that was awkward, but Angry Rock Guy's right. You need some extra help. Anyways, moving on. First impressions are everything. So let's start with the obvious stuff. Who are you? Make sure you put your name in big, bold letters. Make sure you title your resume your first name, last name, resume. If your resume is titled resume.pdf, you're not getting the job. Bye-bye. Next, give yourself a title. What are you? Are you an audio engineer? Are you a customer service representative? That needs to be clear. This needs to be matching the job that you want. Do not make up something that does not exist. That's not gonna help you. Again, don't make something up that doesn't exist or that isn't a job. If you put music producer, you're not getting a job. That's not a job, that's a career. It's totally different. No one's hiring you to be a music producer. Put something else. Are you gonna put actor when you apply for a job at Walmart? That makes about as much sense. What city do you live in? If you don't live next to the city that you're trying to get a job in, less is more. If I live in Santa Monica, but the job I'm applying for is in Hollywood, I'm probably better off putting Los Angeles, California. No neighborhoods, no zip codes, no nothing. People get disqualified all the time because the employers think that they live too far away. That's not their choice, that's your choice. If you want to drive an hour one way, then you go ahead and do that. Don't let them make that decision for you. Put a phone number with a working voicemail. A third of people who have phones don't even set up their voicemail. How's that person supposed to call you for an interview when they can't even leave you a voicemail? What is wrong with you? Okay, so put your professional email there. Your name at gmail.com. If you have AOL still, no joke, the recruiter's gonna think that you're 90 and you still use dial-up. Just get a Gmail account. No, seriously, people actually do have AOL accounts still. Okay, so here, you're gonna wanna put your portfolio. It's important that you have a website if you do anything creative. You need to own the domain too. Your name, something, music.com, or whatever you wanna put, but you need to own the domain. Don't put something like saucebeatsflyguy.wixsite.weebly.net.com/87697/home. That just shows everybody you're too cheap to buy a domain name or too dumb to know how to do it. It's tacky. Wow, all of that and we're still in the header. Okay, so now what do we put? You've got 7 seconds max. Do not write your life story. No one cares about that shit. People don't like to read. Do not write your life story. Don't write a summary. Don't write a profile. And don't write your memoir. If you make that recruiter read, you will be disqualified. Next. Let's do something smarter. It's at the top of the page, it's bullet pointed, it's bold, it stands out. I'm talking about core qualifications. This is your time to shine. This is basically your elevator pitch. You've got 5 to 7 bullet points to tell them why you're good for that job. 5 to 7. Sounds familiar. That's funny because that's like the same amount of time they're gonna spend reading your resume. The goal of this section is twofold. You wanna sell them on yourself and also trick the reader into spending more time reading your resume. It's all about name recognition and memory. Even if you summarize things that are already in your resume, it's okay. This is also a really good time to talk about all the subjective information like personality traits and soft skills. But before we move on, I need you to stop doing whatever you're doing right now. Before you write anything down in your resume, I need to give you a super secret shortcut. Do you remember that software that disqualifies you if you don't put that exact word down? Or the fact that that recruiter is also playing the exact same matching game with their own two eyeballs? If you look at any job description, they're telling you exactly what they want to hear. So you are gonna tell them exactly what they wanna hear, verbatim. All you need to do is look at their job description, look for skills and experience that they want you to have, and just write that down exactly how they worded it. But in resume language, of course. Let's say you find a job at a music company for an assistant position. If a job description says ability to multitask and prioritize efficiently, then you are gonna put in your core qualifications strong abilities to multitask and prioritize deadlines. Wasn't that easy? If a job description says computer literate, Microsoft Outlook, Word, Excel, awesome. So you just put skilled Outlook, Word, and Excel user. Also, the word skilled doesn't really mean you're an advanced user. It just means that you have the skill. Wait, what was I cheating? Absolutely I was. But when the odds are stacked up against you, You need to make sure you're getting every advantage possible without lying. If what you're saying on your resume is true and you're not lying, who cares? Plus, you're not gonna write a resume for every single job you apply to. You just need to have a resume for every type of job that you apply to. If you steal resume phrases from multiple music assistant jobs, those companies are not looking at each other's job postings, I promise you. But if you're down to be an assistant, but you also want to work at a recording studio, you're going to need two different resumes. Keep that in mind. Cool, so now you know how to write a good core qualification section by stealing. Let's move on. The very next thing they're going to want to see on your resume is all the cool stuff that you've done. But keep in mind, to that recruiter, there's a difference between relevant work experience and work history. If you put something out of context right now, you've lost them. Let's say you wrote a killer resume so far. Don't lose them. This section's super important. So what do? Let's say you're trying to get a job at a recording studio, for example. Have you recorded anybody yet? What about your friends? What about yourself? What about school projects? Guess what? That's also experience. They don't care or need to know that you do or don't have a Grammy. Trust me, they know you don't have a Grammy. They just want to see that you take yourself seriously enough where they can take you seriously. This is where the word freelance as someone who works in the music industry is super important. Cool, did you get paid some side money that one time? Congratulations, you're a freelancer. And most of the music industry is. Do you think that Drake's producer clocks in and out of work every day to make beats? Nope. So how do you actually write freelance music experience? Just like any other job, really. All you have to do is replace the word company with the word freelance. There you go. What about your title? That's easy too. What do you want to be called? If you're applying to a studio, you call yourself an audio engineer. If you want to be an A&R scout, and you've done a little side A&Ring on your own accord, then you put A&R scout. You list your dates just like normal, to and from, present, all of that good stuff. And you write three, and only three bullet points on what you do there. You just need to choose the things that they want to hear the most. Are you not sure exactly what to put? That's okay, we're gonna steal. You could find this again in the job posting. What are the things that they want you to do that you already know how to do? If you're gonna send your resume out blindly to like an email or something, all you have to do is just search audio engineer job or A&R job description, whatever title you're looking to get a job in, and you'll find plenty of job descriptions throughout the country, and you're gonna steal from those. I wonder if there's some sort of common theme here. Just make sure whatever you're putting, you're telling the truth. Here are three examples for an audio engineer who also produces. Worked with various artists, recording and tracking vocals as well as instruments. Using Pro Tools, Melodyne, and various plugins to edit and mix audio for clients. Sessions include songwriting, arrangement, and tracking. Are all of those true for you? Are you trying to get a job at a studio? Cool, you could steal those. Next, because you're a freelancer and you're in the music industry and for some reason people care about this still, you're gonna need some credits. Here are just a couple rules about credits. Number one, they show that you take yourself seriously. Number two, they show that you're working. Number three, they don't have to be famous people or famous projects. Number four, no one's gonna check them out pretty much for the most part, but they still have to be true. Most people are actually gonna spend more time looking at your website and your social media then they're gonna look at checking your credits on allmusic.com. And yeah, they know that your song never charted on Billboard. It's okay. There are millions of musicians that have jobs. If some artist paid you 10 grand to track an album, or if they paid you $100 for a beat, how would they know the difference? You still got paid, and that makes you a professional. If you haven't been paid, well, it's time to start getting paid. We'll cover that in another video. Again, they just wanna know that you did something. But you're gonna wanna put at least two. But Blake, I don't have any projects. But Blake, I don't have any projects. But Blake, I don't have any projects. Stop it. If you are saying this, you've gotta come to terms with a couple of things. The projects that you work on in class, those are projects. The projects you do for fun, those are projects. If you don't have any projects released online, stop what you're doing right now and go put them online. We'll cover all of that in another video too. What are you doing? But guess what? Some of you actually do have music projects. Sweet. Put those on there. And yeah, there are some people that are watching this video that actually don't have any music projects, and they're trying to get a job based on music projects. Delusional much? Step one, go make something. Step two, release it online. It doesn't matter how good you are. Step three, put it on your resume. Again, two projects. Put the title of the project, what kind of project it is. Is it a single? Is it an album? It's the film that you scored, when it was released, and make it look good. Next, we're gonna put your education. It's pretty straightforward. If you don't have an education, just don't put an education section. If you do, write it like this. The biggest rule here is that you don't want to put your high school education on this document, mainly because nowadays it's implied, especially if you went to college. And it also kind of dates you a little bit on how old you are. If you appear too young on paper for the job that you're applying to, the recruiter may think you're too immature, which may not be the case. And if you appear too old, they might deny you too. Just don't put it. Yo, isn't there like a law or something like that where you're not legally allowed to deny somebody a job because of their age? Yeah, there is one. But that law is extremely difficult to argue in court. All they have to do is say that they hired somebody else that was more qualified than you. But the recruiter probably thought you were too old for the job. So just don't put your high school graduation date. Definitely don't put your age. Also, people have all kinds of weird biases. You don't know who that resume is going to. Don't indicate your age, your race, your religion, your gender, or even your hobbies. Let them meet your glowing faces first. Your resume should only be about why you're good for that job, not your life story, and nothing else. Moving on. If you're new to the music industry and you want a job in music, you probably have some unrelated job experience. We're gonna call this section work history. Well, we're gonna put one thing and that's it. Again, it's okay to separate experience from work history. Technically, those are two different things anyways. And you're gonna wanna put this section second to last on the page. The reason is that's probably least likely where they're gonna look. The eyes are gonna go at the top, the middle, and the bottom. And that's pretty much it. Again, remember, 7 seconds. Sometimes this unrelated experience is actually needed for the job. And your goal for this section should actually be to convince that reader that those skills that you've learned in that other unrelated job still apply to the job that you are applying to right now. For example, if you want to work at a recording studio, you're not going to get your first job as an engineer. It's not going to happen. Most people start as interns or maybe an assistant. Most likely, they're going to start as a runner. Have you ever been to a recording studio? Notice that everything is in its proper place. The water bottles, the microphones, it's clean, it looks neat, it's comforting. Everything's in a certain way so that the artists and the producers that rent out that space feel very comfortable. It's hospitality. Recording studios want to hire people with hospitality and customer service experience. Was your last job you've had at McDonald's perfect? It sounds crazy, I know, but if you put the right information about the job that you do have, it's gonna seem a lot more appealing. You list this just like any section on your resume. Your title, your company, the dates you worked there. Give 3, and again, only 3 bullet points on what you did there. This part is very important. Did you work at Starbucks as a barista? Well, there's a big difference between saying you made coffee for guests and things like provide excellent customer service to all guests, maintain the store and anticipate the customer's needs, prepare beverages, food products, and handle cash. Sounds pretty good, right? You know where I got that information from? I stole it right out of a Starbucks barista job description. All 3 of those things are actually relevant to a recording studio. Yet it's not industry experience. If Starbucks can trust you to handle their customers and keep the store looking nice, so can a recording studio. That's the type of thinking you're gonna have to do in this section. Okay, last but not least, skills. This is probably the part that the recruiters are gonna spend a lot of time looking at your resume. Do not mess this up. First, what type of skills should you put? Well, there's actually 2 types of skills, hard skills and soft skills. A hard skill is something that you could be tested on. For example, like a piece of software. I can ask you to demonstrate that skill and probably give you a score on it. A soft skill, however, is something you cannot be tested on. They are subjective. For example, communication is a great soft skill, but you aren't gonna put that. On this section, you're only gonna wanna put your hard skills, the ones that they're asking for, like Microsoft Office and scheduling meetings. expense reports, booking travel, music and audio skills like music theory, Pro Tools, playing an instrument, and signal flow. Whatever you put here, you have to make sure it's 100% relevant for the job that you want. Why would a music management company care about all the things you know with harmony? Really, what's a record label gonna do with your guitar skills when you're applying for a job in the mailroom? Why does a social media job care that you know Pro Tools? They don't. Would a recording studio need to know that you can also juggle? Yeah, probably. No, really, don't put that. I saw someone put that. Terrible idea. You need to make this part extremely easy to read, easy to follow, and it needs to make sense for the reader. Do these three things. Categorize your skills. Bold those categories. Use bullet points when you can. Something like this would work fine. Do you see how clean that looks? Oh my God, this video is super long. Still not sure what to do? Then you can subscribe to The Rock Club and grab a killer template based on this video. The link is in the description. Not only will you get a few awesome resume templates made specifically for music, but you're gonna get other good resources too, like contacts to send those resumes to. Other really cool stuff to help you out. Seriously, don't make me play that infomercial again. I'll do it.
Hey, thanks for watching this clip from my podcast. If you're interested in downloading my free music industry strategy guide or being a guest on the show, check out musicadvice.io. Don't forget to subscribe and make music every day. Peace.